Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the show, and a good Thursday Eve to you. Mark Arum here, you there. It's 5:09, 9 after 5. I'm with you till 7 in the p.m. tonight, filling in for the conservative Viking, Eric Erickson, who continues his Washington, D.C. vacation with his daughter. Absolutely adorable pictures he's been posting on Instagram as they tour the nation's capital. Tonight on my show, 7 to 9, filling in is Leon Wolf. 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 That's a Teen Wolf reference.
Oh, is that what that is?
Leon Wolf, who took over Red State for Eric.
Yep.
And now works for the Blaze.
Yes.
I'm sure he's going to go hot and heavy into the Obamacare repeal that we had in the House today. I will touch on that. I will touch on the breaking news in the 6th District race. You heard Edgar Traeger support the breaking news there. That's a big deal for that hotly contested 6th District race between Ossoff and Handel. But starting off the show tonight, I woke up to sad news today, and I don't know why this impacted me as much as it did, but basically the headline is Lenox Mall is not going to do their 4th of July fireworks celebration anymore. It's a tradition that's been going on 57 years, and it's an Atlanta tradition that I have embraced pretty much every year. If I'm in town, I am partaking in the Lenox Square fireworks celebration. The first time I did it, was probably 1997, and a bunch of my friends worked at this place called Rock Bottom Brewery on Peachtree, right south of the Piedmont Road interchange. I think it's Gordon Biersch now, but it used to be Rock Bottom Brewery, and I was the only one of my friends that didn't work there, and they had a great rooftop view of the Lenox fireworks, because Lenox Mall is, you know, half a mile away. So this is a brewery, Rock Bottom Brewery. So we would go on the roof. The general manager would let us all up there, free beer. They'd cook wings for us. Every 4th of July, we would watch the gorgeous Lenox fireworks display from the rooftop at Rock Bottom Brewery. And it was one of my favorite, in all of my Atlanta memories, those are some of my favorite times up there, because you have this gorgeous view. Gorgeous fireworks, drinking beer, eating wings. I mean, it was just, and I'm with all my friends, and it was just a good time. And that's going away now after 57 years. They are going to focus their efforts, the Lenox people, on the Centennial Olympic Park fireworks display, which is also fantastic. But it's an end of an era. And I've only been here 21 years. But this was a very important tradition for me every year. And if I couldn't go to the roof of Rock Bottom, because eventually all my friends got jobs and they would
real jobs.
They wouldn't let hey, it's Mark Aaron from WSB. I'm just gonna go on your roof.
Yeah.
They weren't down with that. But you know, I have a friend in Buckhead that had a view of the fireworks. Mark McKay, who's in for Doug Turnbull, ironically, can you see the Lenox fireworks from your apartment, the condo command, smiling?
I've hosted many a parties because of that, yes.
I thought I was at one of them, for sure,
yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then I didn't get invited back, which is probably because I tried to steal Smiling's Emmy off of his case. But so, all right, so Smiling, so you've been seeing that fireworks display longer than I have. What do you think about that?
I think that there's two ways of looking at it. If you're hosting or you're coming to a party, the traffic is really, really difficult in and out of here. But thank goodness we have the Lenox MARTA station that has relieved a lot of that pressure in the past. But you know, this is really, think about that day. It starts with the Peachtree Road races. The starting point of the Peachtree is at Lenox Mall, and then you have the rest of the day, and the night ended with the fireworks. So it'll be a tradition that'll be missed. We'll still have the start of the Peachtree, but I think a lot of folks around here will miss having the fireworks.
I know a family that would rent a hotel suite at the Westin, or whatever it's called now, where the Palm is. I don't know what hotel it's called. It used to be the Westin. And they would rent a suite there to overlook Lenox Mall to see the fireworks. So I'm just really upset about that. What I want to do with Erickson's hours here tonight is take a look back at Atlanta yesteryear. Traditions we have lost, traditions that we have gained and traditions that are still holding court. Joining us live, Marconi Award-winning anchor, host of Atlantis Morning News with Scott Slade. He is Scott Slade. Scott, thanks for pushing off your sleep time to join us on the evening news, my friend.
Hey, no problem. Glad to be here.
So I talked to you about this morning. I mean, it was like a gut punch to me. I really loved the tradition and the fair that was the 4th of July celebration at Lenox Mall. 57 years, that's a long run.
Yeah, it sure is, man. And I was thinking about some of the things that have gone away since then. Let's talk about the Nancy Hanks for a second. You know who Nancy Hanks is?
No, see, I didn't even know Nancy Hanks.
Nancy Hanks was a train.
Okay.
It was a train. It was a daily passenger service between Atlanta and Savannah. And the big tradition for us, I grew up in Griffin. My mother would pack all five of us on the Nancy Hanks the week leading up to Christmas, and we'd come to the Downtown Riches store, another institution that's gone away, the Riches department store. And it was not far from Terminal Station, Terminal Station is what it was called. Another tradition that's gone away, where all those train tracks came together in downtown Atlanta. And it was a thoroughly wonderful, poignant time. I still remember the echoing sound of that big Terminal Station. And it really was like something out of the 1940s that we drag into the 1950s. And we'd walk over to the Downtown Riches store, ride the Pink Pig over the toy department, have lunch in the Magnolia Room, go see Santa Claus, and go home with a frazzled mother, you know, after keeping up with us all day. But all that's gone now.
It is gone. So there was a day, that's pretty awesome, a daily train from Atlanta to Savannah. So I wouldn't have to drive on I-16 to go to Savannah. I could just hop on the train.
And all the stops along the way. And in fact, I think it might even be a restaurant or a diner that's been made out of maybe the old diner car from the Nancy Hanks that's actually still an operating restaurant in Savannah. At least it was a few years ago.
That I wish that was still in service. That sounds...
They're talking about doing train service again and using some of those same tracks down to down to Henry County, down to Jonesboro.
Yeah.
That would let off at the East Point MARTA station. That's something the folks at Transit are talking about.
Why was it called the Nancy Hanks? Was it just named after?
I don't know who it was named after. It might even been a horse. I seem to remember, somebody listening will know, I seem to remember horseshoes that were connected with the train. And the last time it ran, and I remember I was on the train the last time it ran, it was in 1971, I believe. And I was a junior reporter for a radio station in Griffin, and I did a story about the last run of the Nancy Hanks. The train was full the very last time it left Atlanta, headed towards Savannah.
I wish that was still functioning. I would do that when I go to Savannah or Tybee.
Yeah.
That sounds like a really cool, romantic kind of trip. So that's what I want to do here. Scott's going to join me. Monica Pearson's going to join me as well. We're going to talk Atlanta history, traditions lost, traditions gained, because we've gained some. I mean, we've replaced some of the old stuff with some of the good stuff. Music Midtown comes to mind as a yearly tradition now, and the Atlanta Dogwood Festival, the Yellow Daisy Festival, Oyster. I mean, we have these traditions that are ongoing and hopefully will be long, but we've lost some of the good ones. I never even knew about the Nancy Hanks train. That's amazing.
Christmas with the ASO is another one. The annual holiday concert with the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra, I think, was started back in the 1940s.
Wow.
They still do that every year. And it was originally a CBS radio program. It was the national broadcast that was invented by Robert Shaw, that the ASO does virtually the same way they did it back at the end of World War II.
So, folks, forgive me. I want to go back to Atlanta yesteryear. I moved down in the summer of 96. I came down here with 3 days left in the Olympics. My parents thought I was crazy because Atlanta had just been bombed. But I said, I'm going to Atlanta. So I've only been here 21 odd years. And we've lost a lot of tradition in those 2 decades that I've been here. So Scott Slade's going to stay with us. Monica Pearson will join us. And your thoughts and reminiscences of Atlanta gone by. 404-872-0750. 1-800-WSB-TALK. On Twitter and Instagram, at Mark Arum. In for Eric Erickson. This is Atlanta's Evening News on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Welcome back to the show. 525, 63 degrees on Peachtree Street. Mark Ehrman for Eric Erickson talking about Atlanta yesteryear. Joining us live, Atlanta's morning host Scott Slade. Joining us live in studio, Atlanta legend Monica Pearson. Monica, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you very much, Mark.
I feel like I have a wealth of knowledge at my fingertips right now when it comes to Atlanta history with two amazing, amazing folks like you. I'll ask you, Monica, the same question I asked Scott. Of all the traditions that we've lost in Atlanta, what jumps to mind to you that you miss the most?
The one that I miss the most is still doing the lighting of the then Rich's Great Tree downtown on Forsyth, because mm-hmm. the bridges would light up as each choir sang, and then Oh Holy Night, when the tree just was gorgeous. And then when we moved it to Lenox, it was kind of like, okay. And then it got even smaller in terms of using those beautiful portraits, you know, the beautiful stained glass. And now we've gone from a real tree. And I know, conservationists, it's better to have, you know, a fake tree. But I miss that whole thing of going out and finding the tree that represented Georgia and then putting it up there.
Well, it was always a big deal. Where did the tree come from this year?
And to profile a family who had grown it. I mean, it's just, I miss that. I really do miss it. And now, when I heard today, Scott, I'm just like, okay, this is getting ridiculous. It's like when they tore down the Zestos across the street from the station. It was like, where do you go to eat? But I looked at, they're going to get rid of the 4th of July.
The fireworks.
Fireworks. Yeah. And I used to do that. Just like I used to do the tree lighting, I used to do the fireworks. But then again, I can also understand why. More people will come to Centennial Olympic Park. It doesn't tear up all of Buckhead. And when you think about it, the Atlanta Police Department is already short in number. How are you going to stretch them out these days? You can't. So I think it's better to just go on and have it in one place. And Jovita and will be there cheering on the wonderful fireworks.
Yeah. By the way, Rich's closed in 2005.
I know.
It's already been 12 years, Scott. You mentioned the Pink Pig. For folks, Scott, that are new to the area.
Oh, I love the Pink Pig!
And don't know what the Pink Pig was. Tell the folks what the Pink Pig is, or
it was. It was a suspended train that ran around on the roof of the Rich's toy department. And Monica, I can't remember if you got on it before or after you saw Santa Claus.
You got on it after you saw Santa Claus. And the other thing about the Pink Pig was, if you were an adult, it was a tight squeeze.
You hear that, Longoria?
But you know, they still have the Pink Pig at the Lenox.
Yeah, the Macy's.
At Lenox Square. Mm-hmm, and now it's called, you know, Macy's. Yeah. It went from name to name. But the reality is, it's still not the same as it was. I don't even think they use the entire pig.
No. Well, sadly, nothing is like it was.
Hey, Nancy Hanks, by the way, was a racehorse who was named after Abraham Lincoln's mother.
That's right.
Wow.
That's where the name of the train name came from. Yeah,
I know both of you are very busy. I would love to continue the conversation after news, weather, and traffic. If you must go, I understand. Scott, you probably have to go to sleep soon, but I would love to bend your ear and take some listener calls when we come back. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK, on Twitter and Instagram, at Mark Arum. In for Eric Erickson, this is WSB. Five 39, 21 in front of 6 o'clock. Welcome back, students. This is Atlanta History 101 with your professors, Monica Pearson and Scott Slade. I am merely the moderator, Mark Arum, in for Eric Erickson, with you till 7. The headline this morning for me was Lenox Mall entering its 57-year tradition of partnering for the fireworks on the 4th of July. So we're just doing an Atlanta history lesson here with Scott Slade, Monica Pearson, and myself. I just tweeted out a picture and put it on Instagram, an aerial shot of what is now the Lenox Mall area. I believe it's from 1956.
Oh, my goodness.
It's pretty stunning what it used to look like. I mean, Scott, it was a little forest. I mean, it was just a... It was all trees where Lenox Mall is now.
Oh, sure, yeah. And when they built the old white columns in 1951, they referred to it as the Country Club because it was so far out of town.
Really? That's amazing. So we're talking about Atlanta traditions that we've lost, Atlanta traditions that continue, and maybe new Atlanta traditions that they'll be talking about 50 years from now. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Karen joins us in Powder Springs. Karen, you are on the Mark Arum Show.
Hi, Hi, Scott, I can relate to you so much about the Nancy Hank because my great-grandfather was a conductor for on the Nancy Hank.
No!
And so we used to, I remember riding it, that my grandparents looked wildly, and they would come and visit, of course, via the train, and in later years after my great-grandfather passed away, my great-grandmother had free access, and we would pick her up at the train station. So that was a good memory from those years, too. I grew up in Atlanta. In the late 50s, we had a little house there right off of Peachtree Street, Lakeview Avenue, and at night we would sleep. That's back in the days where very few people had air conditioning, and we would sleep with our windows and our front door wide open all night long.
So Karen, let me ask you about the train.
Anyone doing that.
Karen, was the train luxurious? Describe what the train was like.
I was young enough that I don't quite remember all the details of that. I just remember the going and coming of picking her up and her being so proud to be able to ride due to her husband working for the railroad and all. So,
It wasn't so much that it was luxurious, as I remember, but it was functional. It was friendly. It was clean. And they had a grill car that specialized in steaks, I believe. And it left Savannah at 6 o'clock in the morning, 7 o'clock in the morning every day. It took 6 hours to get to Atlanta. And then would return at 6 p.m. every evening back to Savannah and would arrive at Savannah at midnight at an average speed of 48 miles an hour.
Some entrepreneur out there needs to start that up again,
because
I would
I was
take
getting
it, Monica.
Now, that's what I was getting ready to say. Everything old can be new again, because what are we talking about now? We're talking about how can we move people from Atlanta to Columbus, and then how can we move people from Atlanta to Savannah with railways? It just goes to show you they were a lot smarter than we were.
There you go. Back to the phone. Bob's in Lawrenceville. Bob, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mark. Good to talk to you. Listen, I lived in Savannah for almost 30 years, and you talking about a beautiful place. The guys on this old house, they did a segment there. And if you go to Savannah, I want you to go in those old mansions down there and look at the interior treatment. Look up inside the ceiling. They can't do that kind of work. We don't have that kind of artisans anymore to do that kind of work. And then the chair rail, the crown molding, shoe molding, and all that. And then go to the Catholic church there and the synagogue and visit those. And also a place to eat is called Mrs. Wilkes Borden House.
Mm-hmm.
And it's on Jones Street. You can ask anybody where the Borden House is, Mrs. Wilkes Borden House. It is one of the greatest places on earth. Several presidents have eaten there. And then, of course, we had Savannah was the first planned city. I know we're talking about Atlanta, but I love talking about Savannah.
Well, Savannah, I've been to Savannah maybe a dozen or so times.
And you've got to remember, that's where the state of Georgia stored it. Come on. Oglethorpe, General Oglethorpe landed there. It was the first place they settled.
Every time I go, and I like to take my parents there.
I love Savannah.
We do a different kind of tour, whether it's a trolley tour or it's Savannah's just.
And the Girl Scouts were founded there.
Oh,
don't forget Juliet Garden Lowe.
That's right. They have the building where it was founded. David joins us in Conyers. David, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mark, how you doing?
What's going on, sir?
Well, Scott stole a little bit of my thunder when he gave the name or how the Nancy Hanks was named, and the train that everybody's been talking about so far was called the Nancy Hanks 2 because it was was the second one. The original Nancy Hanks was a steam power train, and it got that name because it was so fast back in the late 1800s.
And where did that run? Was it the same from Atlanta to Savannah?
Yeah, it was Savannah to Atlanta. And the Central Georgia had a second train named after another racehorse called the Man of War, which ran from Atlanta down to Columbus.
Are we coming full circle?
We're coming full circle.
The high-speed rail. Kaler joins us next on the program. Hello, Kaler.
Hey, how are you, Mark?
Excellent. What's going on?
Oh, getting through the rain and the traffic.
Be careful out there.
Milk and Rosebud. I was kind of sad that went away.
Refresh my memory. What was milk?
Aren't those the cows?
Yeah, at Mathis Dairy.
At Mathis Dairy.
I was born in Atlanta and grew up right next to Stone Mountain, but
when we were in kindergarten, that was the big field trip, was to go to Mathis Dairy and milk Rosebud.
You actually got to milk the cow?
Yes.
We got to milk the cow, and we got a button that says, I milked Rosebud.
Some traditions are best left in the past.
I wish they could have experienced that.
I remember Rosebud when I moved here, because even though at that point they were not milking her, she was still a big fixture for Mathis Dairy, and that's how you knew. And do you remember when they used to deliver the milk to your home? Because they were still doing it in 1975.
Yes, they delivered. Mathis Dairy used to deliver to our house, and we had a little silver milk, square of milk,
yes,
set outside the back door, and the Mathis Dairy man would come in and leave new milk bottles and pick up the old ones.
Well, now, again, coming full circle, you can have your milk delivered now with Uber Eats.
Yeah, but it's not the same as Mathis Dairy milk.
I'm sure. Not at all. Milk, cheese, and ice cream. Atlanta history lessons continue next. Monica Pearson, Scott Slade, and Mark Arum, your calls, comments, and reminisces. How about Freaknik? Someone said on...
I lived in Ansley Park during that time.
I liked Freaknik.
No way. Of course you did.
404-872-0750. On Twitter and Instagram, at Mark Arum. In for Eric Erickson. This is WSB. I'm the one you don't rob after. I'm taking no losses. Now I'm the boss and I see you flossing. 555, 64 rainy degrees on Peachtree Street. Deep breaths. You'll get home sometime. Smiling Mark McKay will make it so. Wrapping up with Scott Slade and Monica Pearson as we take a trip down Atlanta yesteryear. Scott, let me ask you this before I let you go to sleep, my friend. One Atlanta tradition that has gone by the wayside you could bring back, what would it be?
Okay, three quickies. One, transportation, the electric streetcars that actually went somewhere. Retail, the locally owned richest department store.
Okay.
And entertainment, big movie shocker. On Friday night.
Wow. All right. Wow. I'm down with all three. Monica, you can bring back an Atlanta tradition that we've lost.
I would bring back the underground Atlanta that I went to in 1969 when I came from Louisville, Kentucky. It was like being in New Orleans in underground Atlanta. Dante's Down the Hatch was the happening place with fondue and alligators that were in this pond in the restaurant. The music was great. Oh, I loved it. You're right. They were crocodiles. I loved underground Atlanta, and I wish we could have that same party feel that we've never been able to recreate since it closed.
Yeah, in my 21 years, I've been to Underground a bunch, and I've never felt that atmosphere.
It was party. Yeah. People came from all over the country to Underground Atlanta.
Did you ever play any jazz down there, Scott?
No, yeah, in fact, I did.
That doesn't surprise me.
University of Georgia Quartet. The Jazz Quartet down there. Sure did.
The nightclubs were great. The food was great. Everybody liked everybody. There was real civility and friendship. It was a great atmosphere. That's what I would bring back. Underground Atlanta, 1969.
I'm with you. We will continue this conversation. I'm going to relieve the professors, Monica Pearson and Scott Slade. Thank you both so much for joining
for
me this
us.
Hour. This is great. I will come back and take more of your calls, though, as we reminisce and do a little Atlanta history here, all because Lenox Mall ending their 57-year tradition of fireworks on 4th of July. What do you miss, tradition-wise, that's gone in Atlanta, and what are you enjoying now? 404-872-0750. This is The Mark Arum Show. Welcome back to the show, and a good Thursday Eve to you. Mark Arum here, you there. It's 6:09, 9 after 6. This is Atlanta's Evening News till 7 in the p.m. I am filling in for the conservative Viking, Eric Erickson. My show, 7 to 9, will be manned tonight by...
Leon Wolf.
Leon Wolf from The Blaze. And yes. I'm sure he's going to talk about the repeal of Obamacare that passed through the House today. I will touch on that if I have time. I will touch on the 6th District update. Some breaking news in that situation. But I'm having too much fun talking about Atlanta history. And how cool was that? Monica and Scott on the same show.
That don't happen very often.
That's a bucket list item there for me. So that was very, very cool. Why are we talking about Atlanta history? Well, history's ending at Lenox Mall this year. July 4th fireworks, 57-year tradition, one that I enjoyed for most of my 21 years here in Atlanta, will be no more. They're going to end their fireworks display and shift all the focus down to the Centennial Olympic Park fireworks display. It's sad for me. It's another Atlanta tradition that we've lost. We're talking about lost Atlanta traditions. I missed Freaknik. You guys weren't here for Freaknik.
No, we weren't.
Oh, my goodness. I loved it. I understand traffic was bad and people, oh my God, what a good time. Things that we've lost in Atlanta, tradition-wise, I'd like to hear from you. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Karen joins us in McDonough. Karen, welcome to the program.
Hey, I'm a native Atlantan. I'm 58. I remember the Southeastern Fair over at the Lakewood Fairgrounds.
What would go on at the Southeastern Fair?
I don't know. They had the big old wooden roller coaster that my mom would never let us ride.
Uh-huh.
But they had all kinds of hoochie-coochie shows, bingo, different things that the fair doesn't have.
I'm a big fan of fairs, mostly because of the food. What are those fried things, the dough, and you put the sugar on them? I can never remember the name of them.
Oh, funnel cakes?
Yes.
Oh, I love funnel cakes.
I can eat those every day. I am a big fair guy, funnel cakes especially.
Funnel cakes are the bomb.
Yeah, funnel cakes are the bomb. Luis in Marietta. Luis, you're on the Mark Arum Show.
Hey, Preach Mark.
Welks, buddy.
First of all, Cobb County native, so I definitely miss every summer going to the Blue Angels air show at Dobbins.
The Blue Angels. We still have air shows, but the Blue Angels don't show up anymore. Is that the deal?
They every couple of years sometimes. Sometimes it's 4, 5, 6 or more years. But back in the day, it was every summer, and it was just a great highlight. It was a great weekend.
I remember seeing them for sure. I helped Scott Slade MC one of the Blue Angel shows at Dobbins. This might have been 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to an air show like that, Chuck?
Yeah, I've been to a couple of Blue Angel shows.
It's spectacular. The problem is people keep dying at them. You know?
Yeah.
It's like at least once a year you see, all right, in Sandusky, Ohio, two people dead at an air show.
It's usually from those old planes.
Yeah, the biplanes or whatever.
Yeah, the older planes that they're doing tricks in that something goes wrong.
Yeah, but if you've never been to an air show, go once. Wear a helmet. Be careful.
don't be up in the front.
Well, know? I mean, you never know where the plane's going to land.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
That's true.
But it's not like a NASCAR race where you can get a tire in the teeth if you're sitting in the front row. Mentioned the Lenox fireworks being canceled. Mm-hmm. I put a picture on Instagram this morning of, it was an aerial shot of where Lenox Mall is now.
I believe saw that.
1955 or 1956. If you have a chance, if you're on Instagram, check it out, MarkArum. It's stunning what that area used to look like to what it looks like now. Judy's in College Park. Judy, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
How are you, dear?
I'm fine.
What do you miss in Atlanta?
Well, I miss the Central Georgia Railroad.
Tell me about it.
Well, I rode on the Nancy Hanks and the Man of War both as I was growing up. My dad worked for the Central Georgia Railroad. And the Man of War made two trips to Columbus, two round trips a day. And we used to go to Columbus for lunch.
Just for lunch. That's amazing. Do you remember how much it cost on the train? I mean, you probably didn't have to pay, but...
I didn't have to pay.
Yeah.
But the Nancy Hanks went to Savannah once a day, and the Man of War went to Columbus twice a day. And one time a day, they passed each other in front of Fort Mac.
No kidding. Fort. See, I would love that. I would if because I love going to Savannah and Tybee Island. I don't know if you've ever been there, Longoria.
I have
Chuck,
not.
You went to Tybee.
Yeah, we go every year.
And the worst part of going there is that it's not a boring drive, but it can be monotonous.
Yeah,
you know,
not great.
You get on I-16 and you're only worried about not getting speeding tickets. You know, there's
great.
Cool like little antique shops and stuff and places you can stay. But imagine just relaxing on a train. Going to Savannah, like how romantic is that?
One of they got a train, two of them that run through Montana, like side to side, and east to west, and it's fantastic. It's like a 2-day thing. You get on it one morning and just to cruise through the mountains, through the Rockies on one of those trains.
They
and then when you get up into the
in
Rockies,
them?
yeah, they got seats.
I'm picturing like a cattle train,
like bums hanging out.
You're a hobo.
Not a hobo.
What's the deal with hobos, by the way? What's the benefit of the stick? With the thing tied at the end, like they had a stick.
Well, that's their bag. That's what they keep all their stuff in.
But what's with the stick?
Makes it easier.
Yeah.
How does that make it easier? I mean, is it for fighting? Like in case you're attacked?
No, I think it's a leverage thing, so you don't have to carry that thing dragging down on your arm. You just slung it over your shoulder. It's like a backpack.
Yeah. Where does a hobo get a stick like that?
There's sticks around.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's stick is easy.
I'm sure he has a lot of time to find one, you know.
Yeah, it's not like he's got a job. He's got plenty of time to search for the right stick.
He has to be somewhere.
I remember I just remember this for the first time, and who knows, I was probably 6 years old, and I'm like, I'm running away from home. And my mom's like, all right, go ahead. So, but all I knew from, you know, running away from home what was hobos was the hobo stick. So I went to the kitchen and I unscrewed the broom handle.
Nice.
And I tied my pillowcase to the end of it and put, you know, my teddy bear in there or my baseball cards, whatever. And I tied it around. I made it, you know, maybe four blocks from my house. And I was like, I'm hungry.
I need a nap.
Yeah. But I even at 6 years old, I'm like, I need a hobo stick.
Yeah.
Daryl's up next on the Mark Arum Show. Hello, Daryl.
Everybody clap your hands.
Bye, Daryl. Thanks
brother
for checking
in. Brother Daryl.
Jane's in McDonough. Jane, welcome to the show.
Hey, glad to talk to you.
Likewise.
I was hoping to talk to Monica.
I can pass it along to her. She's in traffic listening, I guarantee.
Well, honey, seeing her come on the air and go off the air brought tears to my eyes, but I always had to go in whatever sweater she had on.
Mm-hmm.
Lighting the tree, that's what I had to go buy five of the next day.
So Monica set fashion trends, is what you're saying.
Oh, yeah, she was the fashion trend. But my greatest memory was getting on the Greyhound bus in Stockbridge.
Okay.
Riding to Riches. And we would get to shop and get a cookie out of the bakery. Then we would walk or ride the trolley all the way down to Davison.
And what was going on there?
That was the Macy's.
Oh, okay.
Bought Davidson's out.
Mm-hmm. And where was that? Where was Davidson's? I don't remember that. Where was that?
Davidson's was right there at the Peachtree Plaza.
Okay.
And across the street was a famous restaurant called the S&S Cafeteria.
I've heard of that, yes. Many times
I've
heard of that.
We would have lunch at the S&S. We would go to the picture show on the corner of, it would be Davidson's, then the picture show.
Yeah.
Then down the hill was the Greyhound bus station, and we would catch the 6 o'clock bus back to Stockbridge.
And what year was this, Jane?
57 to about 67. My aunt, we would carry us kids from Stockbridge shopping in Atlanta once a week.
That's what a great memory. Yeah, I've been to Rich's. I never went to Davidson's or the cafeteria, but I've heard amazing things about cafeteria. I fill my cafeteria needs with Piccadilly now. One of the few cafeteria-style restaurants left. We'll come back with more of your calls, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK, on Twitter and Instagram, at Mark Arum, Facebook, Mark Arum WSB. This is Atlanta's Evening News on News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. 625, 65 soggy degrees on Peachtree Street. Arum in for Erickson with you till 7. Atlanta History 101 continues. Judy in Roswell joins us. Hello, Judy.
Hey there, Mark. My most famous memory of Buckhead is my dad's store at Lenox Square. He was one of the original merchants. He owned the Lenox Toy and Hobby Shop. I know you guys are
Hold on. Your dad owned a toy store?
Uh-huh, Lenox Toy and
Oh,
Hobby.
My goodness. Is there a better way to grow up than a dad that owns a toy store?
We had wonderful visits from Santa.
Unbelievable. I couldn't even imagine my life if my dad owned a toy store.
He was one of the original, not original, but he first started his business in Buckhead, and it was called the Hobby Shop.
Yeah.
And when I remember vividly when they decided to go into Lenox, the merchants in Buckhead said, "You will lose your shirt. No one will drive that far to shop."
What year was that? Do you remember, Judy?
My mom was always recognized wherever we would go from the Toy and Hobby Shop.
What year did Lenox open, Judy? Do you remember?
Oh, gosh. I think it was 1957 or 58. We have videos of us running down a dirt hill with the sign, "Coming soon, Lenox Mall."
That's unbelievable. And as Scott Slade said earlier, you know, going to Lenox, that was like the sticks. Lenox was the stick. Can you imagine? How did that? That's like winning the life lottery. You're a kid and your dad owns a toy store? Are you kidding me? What would be better than that? It literally,
your mom
owning
a candy store?
Right? Candy? But even, I think you'd get sick of candy.
Oh, yeah. Like, toy store's better.
Exactly. Always new toys coming in. How Judy is still with us. I would have lost my mind as a child. Eric's up next on the show. Hello, Eric.
Hey, how's it going, Mark?
Beep, 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 beep. What's cooking, man?
Hey, sorry, man. That's my belt.
You're good.
Pacemaker?
Hey, what a good topic, man. I was raised in the South, born in Wisconsin, which I know you can't tell from my accent. I'm 37, and I have some of my earliest childhood memories. I can't remember, like 3 or 4 years old, at a drive drive-in movie theater, and it's the one off of right at Spaghetti Junction where 285 hits 85, mm-hmm. Where there's a soccer complex now.
The last one I remember being open, was it called the Starlight Drive-In? Is that still a thing?
I have no idea.
Yeah, that's the last one. But that's just, I mean, that's just national. Drive-in theaters are, if there are a dozen left in the country, I'd be surprised. I've never been to a drive-in movie. Have you ever been to a drive-in movie?
No.
Really?
Never.
No.
Oh, yeah, they're great.
Did you, in Montana,
yeah,
I'm assuming?
Yeah, I got a couple of them.
Because you guys don't have cable.
Well, yeah, we need something.
They didn't have regular movie theaters. You had to go to the outdoors one. All right, talk about Atlanta yesteryear. Traditions that have left us, that you miss. In honor of Lenox Mall ending their 57-year tradition of fireworks on the 4th of July. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK on Instagram and Twitter, at Mark Arum. Back after news, weather, and traffic next. Welcome back to the show, 640, 20 in front of 7, Arum in for Erickson with you till 7. We're discussing Lenox Mall ending their 57-year tradition of fireworks at Lenox Square Mall, a sad passing, in my opinion, one of many Atlanta traditions that have gone by the wayside. We'll continue to discuss that. You heard Chris Chandler there, Governor Deal signs campus carry. We got a bunch of newsy kind of stuff to get to, but we're running out of time. And I know it's wet and it's cold and it's traffic stinks and you're probably starving. So I wanted to make you even hungrier and do a little fast food review.
And now, on the Mark Arum Show, it's time for the fast food review.
Joining us live on the Greasy Salty Hotline, height unknown, weight unknown, parts unknown, Johnny Kilbasa and the ever so popular fast food review. How you doing, Jonathan?
I'm doing great. Hello, conservative Atlanta. I'm wrapped in bacon. I'm here for the take, and I'm covered with cheese, and I aim to please. In the 6th District, the 5th District, or the 4th.
Before we get to the calls, Johnny, I know you knew this, but Twitter reminded me that the Starlight Drive-In off of Moreland is still around and still operational. Yes. $9 for a double feature there, Johnny K.
That is the best deal this side of Crystal Chicks.
All right. What's on the menu tonight? Because everyone's driving home. They're starving. What do you got on the fast food menu tonight?
Every once in a while, Mark, Arby's will pull out a secret special menu that they don't make so secret, but we've got a new kind of secret, not so secret thing. Now, last week we talked about the pork belly, which was Bacon's hipster cousin that moved to East Atlanta.
Yes.
They put that on a sandwich. Now, they decided to make their own. Now, remember they came out last year with something they called Meat Mountain, where they took pretty much every meat they had. It was ham and turkey and chicken fingers and roast beef and Angus and Swiss and cheddar and everything else. And that was about the biggest fast food sandwich I ever saw. It was about $12. It was about 8 inches high. Well, they've got something similar now, and they've come out with something called Smoke Mountain Sandwich, and it's all their smoky meats all in one sandwich. It's not as big as the Meat Mountain. So if Meat Mountain was the Rocky Mountains of big meat sandwiches, this is more like an Appalachian rounded-top Smoke Mountain
nice.
Sandwich.
That's a great analogy. So,
yeah, you've got smoked brisket, you got the ham, you got the smoked pork belly, smoked cheddar, smoked barbecue sauce, and then, of course, they throw the crispy chicken straws in there on a bun.
Damn.
So it's kind of a big mountain, not the biggest mountain, but still a big smoky mountain where the Smoky Mountain rain is always falling.
Not to jump the shark, but that sounds pretty fantastic. Maybe it's just because I'm really hungry, but that sounds like a delicious sandwich.
Yeah, if you walk in to an Arby's and you can't decide which smoked meat sandwich you want to eat, that's when you say, hey, give them all to me on one sandwich. Put some onion rings on it, and let's go.
They can just call, just order the Appalachian. I want the Appalachian.
Yeah.
Johnny Kilbasa
says, call me Ronnie Millsap.
There you go. Johnny, we appreciate you as always, and
if the cholesterol is high, baby, boom, follow me on Twitter, listen to my podcast on iTunes or JohnnyKilbasa.com.
JohnnyKilbasa.com on Twitter, at Johnny Kilbasa. Appreciate you, bruh.
Anytime, bro.
There you go. Johnny K in the popular fast food review. Back to the phones. Dale joins us on the show. Dale, welcome to the program.
Everybody clap your hands.
Twice. Well, I mean, Dale's probably in traffic. He's not ready to jump aboard. Lynn is in Gainesville. Lynn, welcome to the Mark Arum Show. How are you? Lenny. We're going back to
everybody
back.
Everybody clap your hands.
I was worried that we were going to have enough time to take calls, but you guys are helping me out. Fantastic. Let's get the hat trick. Greg in Dallas. Greg, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
What's going on, Greg?
I tell you, you're talking about food. One thing that comes to mind is the Old Hickory House.
Which one? There's a bunch of them, right?
There was, but I think they've all closed up now, haven't they?
I don't know. The only one I used to go to was the one in Dunwoody. The Old Hickory House there. It was ironically next to a Burger King.
The good times of, you know, the big old bowl of Brunswick stew and chopped pork sandwich.
Yes.
You can't beat it.
I'll tell you what I do miss, and this is something that Captain Herb turned me on to. He used to take me to Bobby and June's on 14th Street.
That sounds good. I don't know what it is.
But it was awesome. We used to go there for breakfast, and it was great. And now that whole 14th Street area, Silver Skillet's the lone survivor on 14th Street as far as old school joints are concerned. Cheryl, welcome to the show. Cheryl, how can I help you?
The Rio Vista, Catfish House, Lakewood Fairs, and a stock car racing with Curtis Turner and Lee Petty and the Flop Brothers at Lakewood.
That's it. Here, speaking of catfish, I don't know. I'm pretty sure this place is closed now. I could be wrong. Correct me if I'm wrong. Uncle Bud's Chicken, Catfish, and Such. You guys ever heard of that?
No, it sounds good.
It sounds amazing.
Uncle Bud's Chicken, Catfish, and Such. It was one of the first restaurants I discovered when I moved to Atlanta. It was in Smyrna. And basically, you walk in, it was picnic tables inside. All you can eat, chicken, catfish, and such. So you go in there, it was all you can eat fried catfish, all you can eat fried chicken, all you can eat coleslaw, and there was one more side. But I remember being a poor guy and going there and eating for a week. Uncle Bud's Chicken, Catfish, and Such. I don't know if it's still open. Someone will let me know. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. On Twitter and Instagram, at Mark Arum. In for Eric Erickson, this is WSB. Final segment of the show, Mark Arum in for Eric Erickson. Back in my normal time tomorrow night, right? Normal, 7 to 9, please?
Yep.
Leon Wolf's coming up next, filling in for me. Bad news, Uncle Bud's Chicken, Catfish, and Such. No longer with us, but there are still multiple locations of the Hickory House. But, oh, man, Uncle Bud's. We could have broadcast there live for 2 weeks. I would have loved doing that. Uncle Bud's Chicken, Catfish,
I'd have been down for
such.
That. That sounds,
yeah, that sounds good.
I don't know if we would have done much radio.
It was really good. Really good. More bad news. I can't get to the rest of the calls because there is no time, but we do have time for a star of the show.
Now, are you guys ready for the Mark Arum Star of the Show?
Dual stars of the show tonight. Two legends joined us. Scott
you
Slade
to call me a legend.
And Monica Pierce.
I was just going to say, we're legends.
You're getting to legendary status, Longoria. You are not there yet. So thanks again to Monica and Scott Slade for really bringing the heat. We'll continue the conversation online on Twitter at Mark Arum, Facebook Mark Arum, and Facebook Mark Arum WSB. You got to put the WSB in there. And Instagram, Mark Arum. Coming up, news, weather, and traffic next. Healthcare repeal, campus carry, 6th District, busy news day. And now there's problems with the MARTA station downtown. And then Leon Wolf filling in for the Mark Arum Show. Thanks for listening. Have a great night. Now you want to see what's going down. Trying to tell me how you want my time.
Trying to tell me how I'm on your mind. Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.